from deep inside your radio.
You now hold the future in your hand.
No, it's not the Eurovision Song Contest again, ladies and gentlemen.
Come from everywhere across the land.
It's the official theme of the track competition.
The stars are shining bright.
Of the 1984 Olympics.
Make it yours tonight. You know every wish you have's at your command.
And now it's up to New York to come up with music even worse.
Reach out for the medal.
Yes, New York City has won.
Reach out for the gold.
Oh, thank you very much. New York City has won the right to represent the United States. Big surprise. San Francisco would have had to have had another earthquake to even be in the competition. We all know. You couldn't say that, but it was true. Everybody knew it. Yeah, San Francisco, very cute. Thank you. Thank you very much. New York, these are the Olympics of 2012, ladies and gentlemen. Let's all imagine there's going to be an Olympics in 2012. Oh, no, the security bill won't exceed the gross national product of the world. Of course not. But listen to the competition. I mean, New York won the right. This is like the Democrats who were favored to be elected governors in some big states this year and will get for their putative success the responsibility of taking the blame for huge state deficits that are in the offing. Anyway, New York wins the right to compete against. I mean, you know, other years you compete against Beijing or Mexico City or Athens. Here's the competition for New York: Paris, London, and Moscow. You know, the New Yorkers like to say, greatest city in the world. Why, who could compare? How about Paris, London, and Moscow? Well, in Paris and London, at least. My bet, ladies and gentlemen, well, let's see. Athens has it in 2004. That's Europe. Atlanta just had it a couple years ago. Bet on Moscow. I'm sorry. That's the way that game works. Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, we like to analogize our politics to athletic competitions. At least we guys do. So here's how it looks. The Republicans in 2002. Now, the party that has the incumbency in the White House, enjoys the incumbency in the White House, historically always loses seats in Congress in the midterm election. That's just the way it goes. So the expectation was, with a bad economy and that historical tilt, the Democrats would do very well in both the House and the Senate races this year. It doesn't seem to be turning out that way. As of this weekend, everybody's saying, too close to call. The Republicans, who have adopted a strategy of just pounding it down to the big man, i.e. the president, and letting him grind it out, flying around the country and just saying, give me my Senate. I want my Senate. The Republican strategy is basically the Pat Riley New York Knicks. Win ugly. The Democrats, with a lot of talent and a lot of money, no real game plan, they're the Clippers. Hello, welcome to the show.
Doesn't guide. Circumference, when did the map lose relief? Where is the salt and the tear in my eye? Where is the gold in the pot? Where is the sense in the common? Where is the time in the rag? Where is the play in the vein in the game? Where is the soul in the food? When did the second hand slacken? When did the burn lose the sun? Where is the dawn and the break of the day? I'm lost in this love.
Thank you. Africa. They sing a bingo, bingo, bingo. They have a ball that really goes. Go get it! Take a trip to Africa. All the way to Africa. Come on alone and learn a lingo. Beside a jungle bungalow. Go get it! And skokey, 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 yeah. Okie dokie, anybody can. Skokey, 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 yeah. Okie dokie, anybody can. Take a trip to Africa. Any ship to Africa, skokey, yeah. Happy, happy Africa. A bagel, 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 bagel. Skokey, yeah. Drums are drumming, the hot strings are strumming, the warm lips are blissful and kissful. I'm Skokie, yeah.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show. We are in November. Think of it. Here are some indicative quotes uttered this week. Give you some idea of what a wonderful business, what a wonderful business show is. All from the New York Times, oddly enough. First, from an article about the problems and possible advantages of AOL being in both the cable business and the programming business. So they're both in the position of saying to consumers, hey, get our new digital set-top boxes that allow you to skip commercials and... oh, please don't skip the commercials. That's theft. Both utterances coming out of the same corporate mouth. Here is one Warner Brothers executive, one Time Warner executive. Bruce Rosenblum, executive vice president for television at Warner Brothers, says he's eager to work with his sister company, Time Warner Cable. But he said he shares... Jamie Kellner, who said skipping commercials is theft, he says he shares those concerns about commercial skipping, noting that Warner has responsibility to producers, writers, directors, and actors who receive some of the revenue from its shows. That's why they don't want you to skip commercials, because they care about the actors. And in a piece about the rap music industry, the New York Times quotes Bert Padell, an accountant whose clients include Madonna, Run DMC, and others. Quote, companies make out well, managers make out well, artists don't make out well, unquote. And in the same article, Hillary Rosen, the head of the Recording Industry Association, who has blamed the recent slump in record sales in congressional testimony and court documents all over the place, blamed the CD sales slump on the internet and on people stealing songs on the internet. She blames rap's recent sales slump on its success. As its influence spread, fans could get hip-hop flavors from rock or pop albums. So she didn't blame the internet for the slump in rap, just for the slump in the sales of all the other crap. All right, then. We know what kind of a business we're in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Catholic Diocese of Stockton is reorganizing its corporate structure to protect its assets against future lawsuits. Monsignor Richard Ryan, can you tell I'm not a Catholic? The diocese's vicar... It's too early and it's too late. Vicar General and second-in-command behind Bishop Stephen Blair, Blair with an E, by the way, said the purpose of the reorganization is to protect individual parishes in the event of a civil lawsuit. The move comes just months after a diocese priest pleaded guilty in criminal court to molesting a teenage boy for more than 2 years. It's probably not related. Oh, it also comes as the Roman Catholic Church nationally battles allegations of past sexual abuse of parishioners by clergy members in cities like Boston and Los Angeles. There are no cities like Boston and Los Angeles, but you know what I mean. Individual local parishes under the new plan would each be considered separate legal entities, according to Monsignor Ryan. It's unfair to an individual parish, especially when engaged in fundraising for new buildings, to have its assets placed at risk because of a lawsuit against the diocese. Yeah, we don't want to have those buildings threatened by damage claims for child abuse, would we? I'm sorry to have to underline that for you, ladies and gentlemen. You got it. Anyway, the Canadian government has issued a travel advisory to its citizens about visiting the United States. All right, that's it. This is war. Close the border, ship them all back, more jobs for Americans. Let's go. Out. Now. Because of tightened border controls in America, Canadians born in some Middle Eastern country should now think carefully before entering the United States, Ottawa says. Ottawa. We can't tell the Americans what to do on their own territory. What we're telling them is that we don't accept this and we find it very troubling, said a Canadian spokesperson. American border regulations now require people born in Iran, Iraq, Libya, Sudan, or Syria be photographed and fingerprinted as they enter the U.S., even if they are full citizens of other countries, like Canada. Assuming that Canada is a country, of course. That's prompted the travel warning from the Canadian government. This week it advised its citizens who were born in any of those five countries to consider carefully whether they should attempt to enter the U.S. for any reason, including transit to or from third countries. Canadian Parliament members accused Washington of harassing Arab Canadians. One Syrian-born member of Parliament said that American rules make him a second-class Canadian. That is way down on the totem pole, babe, if you're a second-class Canadian. Ouch. Oh, that's got a sting. Canadian Foreign Minister Bill Graham, not the same one. Didn't leave the concert promotion business to become Canadian Foreign Minister. Don't go there. Said he's already registered his strongest disapproval to U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell, who doesn't have anything else to think about. He added he believes changes will be made to the American policy when common sense prevails. Let's see, that should be about 2048. The American regulations come as a convenient target for Canadian politicians who sense growing unease amongst Canadians with U.S. policy in the Middle East. Many Canadians also worry about increased delays at the border, which can be expensive for their export businesses. Like they haven't had a free ride till now? Okay, sorry. It's Canada. It's a separate country. They can do what they want. But we love them anyway. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's been too long, and it'll be too long again, but it's time now. For a copyrighted feature of this broadcast, yes, you heard it be attempted to be ripped off by certain other public radio broadcasts, but they've given up and we're still here. Tales of Airport Security for your listening pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. On my way to London recently, this is a listener writing, listener AP, not the wire service, those are the initials of the listener. On my way to London recently during a random luggage hand search at O'Hare Airport, the security agent found among my possessions an object which she perceived to be a threat. My pencil sharpener. It was nothing special, just one of those small metal stick-your-pencil-in-it-and-twist pencil sharpeners. But she withdrew it from my pencil box gingerly, as though it might go off at any moment. "You can't bring this with you on the plane," she said. "You'll have to check it." "But," I objected, "it's just a pencil sharpener." "This is a blade, sir." Her elaborately illustrated faux fingernail pointed to the 1 centimeter blade contained within the sharpener. "Just barely," I commented. "You'll have to leave it here or check it." I pointed out, "You must realize that a sharp pencil is a much better weapon than a pencil sharpener." I didn't mention that her fingernails would likely be an even better weapon still. "You'll have to leave it here or check it." I suppressed the urge to ask, "Do you mind if I at least sharpen a few pencils first?" And so found myself escorted by a camouflage-clad military man with an automatic rifle slung over his shoulder back to the check-in desk, where my pencil sharpener was tagged and checked through to London, my destination. It was the sole piece of luggage I checked on that flight. Following which, with a pencil box full of sharp pencils and 2 hands replete with fingernails, I passed once more through security and boarded the plane. Richard in Oakland writes, I flew out of Long Beach recently. After checking bags and doing security, I located the temporary building that housed my gate. During my short wait, the staff at the gate repeatedly requested any persons who had not been through security to go through it now. After about 2 seconds of pondering, it became clear that this is the most futile act ever attempted in airline security. The folks who would voluntarily go back to security are, of course, not a threat, and those who might be a threat are certainly not going back. Diana writes, I travel quite a bit doing morning talk shows all across the country as Gadget Girl, and because my segments often involve prototypes of high-end electronics, I am always frisked. I also carry a wig case with a platinum blonde wig. Often after the security personnel have finished gawking and asking me, how the heck does this work, or gee, this looks kind of strange, they then move on to the wig case. At many of the security stands, I end up putting on short demos of the product. But when the wig case is opened, most of the people stand back as if it's going to explode. I have resorted to carrying an 8x10 photo of me in the Gadget Girl character. One passenger who was having his bare feet scanned asked, hey, what about her wig? She's going incognito. I think if I were trying to disguise myself, it wouldn't be with a platinum 50s style flip wig. Dear Harry, Matt writes, I'm in the Air Force and was coming back from 3 months service in Afghanistan when my homeward bound trip took me through Baltimore Washington International, BWI. I dreaded it because of several other trips abroad, ostensibly in the name of freedom. Each time I've come home, my first taste of the good old USA has been to descend into the heart of darkness of one or another incompetent airport screening checkpoints. But this story is one of hope. We'd just taken a 40-hour plane trip into Baltimore. Geez. And I stopped to get a Coke from a Slurpee-type place just outside the BWI security area. Because they normally sell Slurpee-type frozen drinks, the cup I was given was plastic. Thin 7-Eleven cup-type plastic, not coffee mug, thick plastic. With perhaps 5 sips taken, I got into the security line, which moved much faster than I expected. Upon getting to the front, I realized that the BWI security was now manned by new federal screeners. They were relatively young, most looked to be in decent shape, were all at least reasonably alert, and appeared to be intent on their jobs. In short, they were a group of people I would have no problem holding up to foreigners as average Americans. Versus the listless, distracted, confused, surly, often caterwauling, and usually morbidly obese Americans who usually stock privately run security checkpoints. Even the uniforms of my federal screeners looked pressed and not nylon. My tax money at work. I was so impressed by the near professionalism of the screeners, who even had a complicated system of multi-checkpoints and traffic flow going, that I let it pass when I was sent back out of line, courteously, because plastic cups are verboten. I had to return to the Slurpee place, where the clerk admitted I wasn't the first, and get a paper cup for my soda. Armed only with a paper cup, I returned to the checkpoint, straight to the front of the line, and passed through without incident. Thanks, Matt. See? We bring you the darkness, ladies and gentlemen, but we bring you the light. That's why it's a copyrighted feature.
Come to me. She is a god to me.
This is Le Show. And remember a couple years ago when after the 2000 election, we were assured that top of the pile for achievement in the ensuing weeks and months was election reform. Yeah, we've heard so much about that ever since. I know it's been on the top of my list just right after campaign finance reform, which is working really well because there's so little trash money being spent on trash commercials this cycle or next cycle or the cycle after that. So we're coming up to an election where very little has changed. And basically the main strategy for avoiding the kind of debacle that occurred 2 years ago is, a large number of crossed fingers to avoid something like this.
I took the bus down today. Wanted to be in plenty time. Well, I got me to the polling place. I got me to the poll. Oh, I found myself a ballot, but I just could not find the hole. You see, I only knew I screwed up when I saw it on the news. Oh, I saw it on the news. Mr. Bush has got a boil. I got butterfly ballot blues. I got the blues. Now Bush was in the top slot. Al Gore was number two.
Oh, yeah.
Me, I voted for Pat Buchanan. Am I one angry Jew? I was looking for an outcome. All I get is non-stop schmooze. Non-stop schmooze. It's giving me an ulcer. I got the butterfly ballot blues. Now wait a minute. They say they use it in Chicago, as if that's a point of pride. You can't confuse a voter when it's 6 months since he died. If I was running this election, I'd go home and hide. Strange, I feel to see Jesse Jackson on my side. So I'm sitting on a park bench, talking to the TV crews. So many crews. You know, I'd rather play canasta, but I've got those butterfly ballot blues. Now one more thing before I go. You can butterfly my lamb chops with a crispy, crusty coat. You can butterfly my band-aids, just don't butterfly my vote. My grandson thinks I'm stupid, so I need a couple clues. Who doesn't need clues? You don't have to be an alter cocker to have the butterfly ballot. Me schwitzing the butterfly ballot blues. I think I hurt myself.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's uncross our fingers and I'll read the trades for you. A couple items this week. First, from Prepared Foods magazine. Low-carb beer goes national. Me! Oh, I'll read it for you. Don't worry about it. Otherwise, I'd just be sitting here. Anheuser-Busch has made its own entry into the more healthful arena, launching a new variety of beer that is low in carbohydrates. Following months of regional testing, Michelob Ultra has gone nationwide, and the lager promises only 95 calories, 4.2% alcohol, and 2.6 grams of carbohydrates. Regular 12-ounce bottles of beer have 150 calories and 5 grams of carbs. Anheuser-Busch says a special choice of grains combined with the extended mash process, that's how they do it, produces the beer with fewer carbohydrates. Ultra is available in 12 packs with a sloped shoulder bottle. I guess that denotes lower carbs. So you're going to have to just drink more to get a beer belly now, guys. The move toward healthier items continues as Frito-Lay of Plano, Texas, who knew that, has announced major steps to improve the healthiness of its snack items. Reduced fat versions of their potato chips and Cheetos are just one step of the process. Set to debut early next year, the snack giant will also eliminate trans fats from Doritos, Tostitos, and Cheetos. Beginning in early 2003, Frito-Lay will move from hydrogenated oils to corn oil in the production of those items. Is that a good thing? It is for corn farmers. And now, from Current, the newspaper of public broadcasting. Here's good news, because we're not wasting enough money on digital television, ladies and gentlemen. The FCC has approved the front-running technology for digital radio. Good night. Known as IBOC. But it dismissed or delayed action on several concerns raised by public broadcasters. The unanimous decision enables stations to start using IBOC, which simultaneously transmits digital and analog signals. Unlike television, radio does not face a mandate to convert to digital by a certain date. Why's that? IBOC, which stands for In-Band On-Channel, works with both current receivers and the digital models expected to hit the market in January, allowing stations to air analog signals indefinitely. So we'll be rushing out to buy those digital radios, won't we? Oh no, they sound still much better. FCC commissioners hailed the decision as a huge step forward for the medium. However, they endorsed digital AM for daytime only, citing continuing concerns about interference during nighttime broadcasts. Well, that's like the old days. It's sunset. Good night. And not in the trades, but whispered about, there's a complaint, I believe, in the New England area by a police department that their police radio communications are being interfered with by the local digital television station. But it's okay. The sniper didn't try to call them. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's how it looks when I read the trades for you. It's a copyrighted feature, too. We're so busy at the copyright department of the Show Dome, really not much time to do anything else. The big media story of the week, however, was none of those. It was the persistency of rumors sweeping the news business of continuing talks between CNN and ABC about merging their news operations. CNN would merge with ABC News. This comes after talks had been broken off between CNN and CBS for a similar merger. Whichever network completes a merger with CNN will leave the other one, now probably CBS, as the only broadcast news organization without a cable ally. NBC has CNBC and MSNBC. Fox, which is not really a network, or else they'd pay real residuals and not those toy residuals. Fox has the Fox News Channel, and CNN would now have probably ABC. So CBS would be alone. Wow. That might be another bad day at BlackRock.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. One grande double non-fat latte with
Extra non-fat milk, please. Thank you.
One grande double skinny latte double skinny. $3.
There you go. Keep the change.
You give me $3.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess the rest of my cash is in my other pants.
That's okay. Keep the pants.
Thank you.
Pick up over there.
You bet.
Grande double non-fat latte, extra non-fat.
That's me. Thank you. Excuse me, please. Pardon me so much. Would you just mind if I... Brother Brown.
Brother Rather, please join me. It would give me the only unalloyed pleasure I've had all week.
So, Aaron, interesting to see you so far uptown.
Oh, CNN opened a new studio for us just down 6th Avenue, a couple of blocks.
Mm-hmm.
One of those see-through studios.
Oh, yes. I've begun to think the CBS Evening News was going to be the last news broadcast to come out of this city without a backdrop of tourists holding up signs.
Oh, you don't see them on our broadcast.
Oh?
We put up a big flat, and all the people in the street see is the back side of it.
Mm.
It must occasion profound disappointment in them not to see, among other things, me.
We can't be disappointing tourists now, can we, Brother Brown? Especially in the name of doing our job of keeping Americans the best informed people on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sir, and don't get me wrong, I'm just kidding here, but maybe we elected the wrong businessman named Michael as mayor of this great city. We should have just skipped the middleman and elected Eisner.
Brother Rather, there's more truth than poetry there. And,
well,
and of course, there was no poetry there.
No, sir. What are you drinking there, Hoss? Some of this fine $2 coffee?
Today, Daniel, I'm having just a couple straight shots of the brown stuff.
Aren't we all? Well, what's in your cup?
Espresso. You know, you can take the boy out of Seattle.
Mm-hmm, but he'll still be more wired than a Texas judgeship election. So, speaking of which, big election night coming up.
You know something, Daniel, and it is somewhat sobering to reflect on this at the top of our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Election nights are pretty much the reason I got into this business.
Oh, I know what you mean, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And this one should be tighter than Carla Faye's pointy-toed shoes. You know, I've told the people in our shop this is going to be a three-pizza night for all of us.
Yeah.
This thing might go on longer than a Turtle Creek wedding.
Well, it would be a cliche to call it a probable nail biter, but it would be resisting the cliche not to.
Mm-hmm. You got away with words there, young fella.
Well, call me a dreamer, Brother Rather, but I've always thought of television as a writer's medium.
Too? Afraid not, Sprout. Television, it becomes clearer every day, is an accountant's medium.
Well, yes.
After all, sir, the decision to merge your shop with Mickey Mouse's favorite news division is not being made on journalistic grounds.
Well, now, Daniel, that merger hasn't been announced yet.
Oh, neither of this week's ratings, but I still know Brother Brokaw wins again.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know better, you might just think the guy was more likable than the rest of us.
Oh, but look here, Hoss. You think it's been Galveston short leave bad taking orders about the news from the fella that decides whether one of the girls in Dawson's Creek gets pregnant this season?
Well,
just cast your mind ahead to your first editorial meeting with the fella who designed the giant teacups. This mouse really does roar.
No, it's not going to be that bad. Listen, Daniel, I left ABC News, but only because both Ted and Peter are distressingly healthy. I will derive a peculiar delight in being reunited with them as equals.
Brother Brown, let me say this to you. Swedish nanny gentle, but Western state line straight. How many people watch your program, do you figure?
Well, Nielsen says it's about 900,000.
Mm-hmm. More impressive than a Corpus Christi bride.
Well,
but that's how many people, sir, go to the bathroom during the commercial break in Peter's broadcast. You know, you've got a much better chance of not getting bigfooted again if you folks throw in with us.
Oh, well, I hate the traffic and the unsourced rumors that are the muesli of our business, but I heard that deal went away because your people insisted on control of the joint news product. Now,
let me just get this straight, partner. Mm-hmm. Is your outfit America's news leader, America's news channel, or the network America trusts? This is what it took me so long to accept about our shop. We've all lost control of the news product. We're not getting it back.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is our fearless leaders aren't as bus plunge scary as their fearless leaders. Or the fearless leaders you already got. You like their coffee here?
Oh, listen, Daniel. Where I come from, coffee better than this runs out of the roof gutters. But for New York, mm-hmm. or especially Atlanta,
ooh.
Anyway, it seems to me, just past the midpoint of our encounter here, that it is very hard to see how these machinations at the top levels of our corporations impinge on my day-to-day experience of being quirkily authentic for 59 minutes a night.
Brother Brown, this is about more than just you.
That's what my producer keeps telling me. Look here, Daniel, it is particularly painful for me to say this since I grew up watching your broadcast, mm-hmm. and it was really the reason I wanted to get into this business. But at bottom, aren't you really just apprehensive about being in the only network news division without a cable partner?
Oh, Aaron, sir, please. That's as off the mark as a refurbished Scud. CBS News has no problem standing alone in the newly convergent media jungle. After all, for years we've been standing alone inside CBS. And that, sir, is a jungle that's all fauna and no flora.
Well,
if we just didn't want to go it alone, we'd merge with Fox News.
You'd have Bill O'Reilly on your broadcast to promote his show.
You have Sister Chung on your broadcast.
Well, I'm compelled to say that that's different. We share the studio. If I didn't have her on, there'd be something nasty scrawled in lipstick on the makeup mirror the following day.
Well, looky here, sir. I didn't mean to go steer auction fast and drunk liver hard on you here.
That's okay, Daniel. It is an honor for me to be harangued by you.
No, I should be saving my pipes for election night. It's going to go longer than a Unitarian sermon. Good luck, sir, please.
Thanks.
Don't tell anybody I said this, but Brother Brown, from me to you?
Yes, Daniel.
I'm pulling for you to break a million. You take care, sir, please.
You too, Brother Rather.
Banda não é boa, vai playback, tudo bem. Nessa... você e eu. Normal só tem você e eu. Normal só tem você e eu.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Oh yeah, we're waiting for that CBS reality show on this subject. But meanwhile, Democratic organizers at the public memorial for Senator Paul Wellstone apologized for its partisan tone, but insisted many of the remarks were not scripted, although right-wing websites beg to differ. It probably would have been best not to get into politics and elections in the way it was done, said Wellstone's campaign manager, Jeff Blodgett. But he said he was as surprised as anyone when the memorial shifted from a series of tearful eulogies into an affair resembling a political rally. Republican Senate candidate Norm Coleman said he thought the tone of the memorial was unfortunate. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Roger Moe said speech by Wellstone's campaign treasurer Rick Kahn went too far. So everybody's sorry about that now. Except the, as I say, the right-wing internet websites, which insist that this was all planned by Democratic operatives and then walked away from it, having the deniability to say, no, that was the Wellstone family. Mike Rucker, who's running for the Leon County Commission in District 5, that would be in Florida as an independent. More Florida election news, ladies and gentlemen. We can't avoid it. We must love it. Mike Rucker has apologized to a man who lives in Benton Hills for urinating in his yard. What I did was wrong, of course, Rucker said in an interview with the Tallahassee Democrat. I'm truly embarrassed about it, and I would truly never do this again. Rucker was putting up campaign signs about 8 a.m. Tuesday when he noticed one of his signs missing from the man's yard. Rucker, who had earlier obtained permission to put up the sign, replaced it with a new one and continued driving through the neighborhood. When he passed by the man's house a few minutes later, Rucker noticed the new sign was missing. He said he rang the man's doorbell twice, but no one answered. Thinking the sign had been stolen, Rucker walked back through the man's backyard to see whether he could find it. He found one of his signs and concluded the man didn't want the sign in his yard. Rucker said he needed to use the bathroom very badly and was 10 minutes away from the nearest facilities. He said he walked to the side of the man's house in an area thick with shrubs and urinated. The man's wife saw Rucker from a bathroom window and told her husband. The man spoke briefly with Rucker in the yard and Rucker left. He later came back to the man's house to apologize, but no one answered the door. Rucker called the man the next day, and he apologized. Rucker said he suffers from a prostate condition and a urinary urgency condition and was in extreme pain at the time. A lot of coffee was going through me, and I had nowhere to go, he said, and I thought no one was home. The Queen is to write a private letter to Princess Di's former butler, Paul Burrell, which will acknowledge the emotional difficulties the former butler has had to endure during the trial which accused him of stealing from Diana's estate. A Buckingham Palace source was insistent that the correspondence should not be seen as a private royal apology. But that is exactly how the extraordinary and unprecedented gesture will be interpreted in Britain, where they care about this stuff. The trial was dismissed this week after the Queen suddenly remembered Burrell had told her that he had taken Princess Di's private items for safekeeping. The police had earlier had a meeting with Prince Charles where they said among the effects that Burrell had taken from Princess Di was a photograph of him wearing her clothing. It later turned out Princess Di had held a Christmas party where she invited all of her staff to dress in her clothes. The apologies of the week. The world is sorry. Oh, and I don't usually do this, but here's a prediction. Apologizing soon, Harvey Pitt, head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, for not telling his fellow members that the new appointee to head the Accounting Control Board to oversee all the bad accounting that's going on, William Webster, was formerly the head of the Audit Committee of a company that's now under investigation for fraud. That's a little thing he forgot to tell them before they voted. He'll be sorry right after the election. Book it. I made a prediction. I can't believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, that with that, well, you know, everybody else is doing it right now. Oh, and Lakers and Six. That concludes this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe and the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, all up and down the east coast of North America via shortwave on WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz. And on your computer, whenever you want it, wherever you are, around the planet Earth, at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like only people who know what they're doing voting this Tuesday, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much, uh-huh. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Being able to wait until we can simulcast in digital radio, the show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as, despite everything, the home of the homeless.